What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Little change this week. I'm in Miami. Well, if you're listening to this on Monday, I'm flying out to Miami. Be there Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then all day Friday. Boots on the ground, getting a feel for the people, getting a feel for the place, and getting a feel for this game. This is my football heaven game. Niners, Chiefs, had to go. Now I'm there. So we'll do podcasts Wednesday and Friday. Just the feel of the game. See if I can talk to different people. We'll see where the wind takes me. I'm pretty fluid because I don't... The podcast business, you can kind of record from wherever you are. So I don't really have a schedule. We'll just kind of... We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. I was going to talk about football, but we're going to... I have some thoughts on Kobe Bryant. We'll open up the show with... Justin Herbert won the Senior Bowl MVP. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Just a fantastic matchup. I talked a lot about the coaches last week. The Browns still don't have a general manager. And then, like always, at John Middlecoff is my Instagram handle. Slide up into those DMs, and I'll answer your question here at the end of the show. At John Middlecoff, again, Instagram, easiest way to get a hold of me. Well, let's start with Kobe Bryant, who unexpectedly died in a devastating helicopter crash, accident, however you want to describe it. I was at the gym when the news broke, and you're just like, God, I wasn't even a Laker fan. I actually despise the Lakers, but he's easily one of the most famous athletes of my lifetime, and whether you hated him or whether you loved him, you respected him. And I think it's still something the NFL has, because it's hard to be a half-in NFL guy. You have to give a lot of yourself to the sport of football. Where in basketball, you can overcome some stuff just with great athleticism. And I guess you could do that in the NFL too. It's just a much more violent sport that if you kind of half-ass the process, you get yourself hurt. Where in basketball, when I grew up, the NBA I always thought was on equal footing with the NFL in my childhood. Now, I lived around where I grew up close to Sacramento. We had an NBA team, but football was huge. I mean, the Niners were an hour away from me in the peak of their dynasty powers. But Michael Jordan was the biggest athlete in America when I was growing up. There wasn't even a close second. Michael was on a pedestal by himself. I was born in 84, so by the time 94, I was 10 years old, get to junior high, 96, 97, 98. I mean, Michael Jordan is a godlike figure. And Kobe Bryant emulated and wanted to be exactly like him. But the thing that, as I get older and the type players that I root for, just like the type people I root for, you don't have to be the most talented human. You don't have to be the smartest person. But I never meet anyone who gives everything they have to whatever they do. As Kobe talked about basketball, it was his craft. You know who also talks about football like that? Like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. They dedicated their life to the sport. They put all their chips in the middle of the table. And in a weird, weird way, obviously I'm nowhere near as... I can't even parallel them to what they've accomplished in their life. But I know me personally, when it went into work in sports and scouting and now this media thing that I've been doing my entire professional life, I put all my chips in the middle of the table. I don't have another option. Like, Kobe's proven. He can do a million things. He was really smart. Peyton Manning, same way. But they went all in on their craft. And Michael was clearly like that. Tiger Woods, my favorite athlete, he's like that. And in a day and age where so many athletes talk about their brand and we're a business, that shit comes when you win. The reason TB12 exists is because he has 6 Lombardi trophies. And he's given his entire life to play quarterback. The reason Kobe became so big is it was all basketball, all the time. Everything else was second. Same with Michael. It was all about winning. I say it all the time about Tiger Woods. He's had his back fused. He's had his knee reconstructed. Yet Tiger Woods, still this weekend, I'm watching him at Torrey Pines, has more money than God. He's super famous, doesn't need to do any of this, but he loves the juice of competing. And really, and sometimes it's cheesy when you hear coaches talk like this, but when they talk about loving the process, he loves the process of getting ready for a tournament. When you read about Kobe, and as a Kings fan growing up, couldn't beat Shaq and Kobe. They were the best duo probably in my lifetime. Now, Michael and Scottie were more successful, but Shaq and Kobe were, their high end was high. They were unstoppable. They were an unstoppable force. when you think about one of the main reasons Kobe and they had a breakup, Kobe thought he was lazy. Really that simple. Kobe thought he didn't work hard enough. Shaq had a famous quote, "Well, I got hurt on the company dime. I'm going to rehab on the company dime." And football, when I first got hired by Fresno State, one thing Coach Hill used to always talk to the team about that we didn't want to be were union workers. Clock in and clock out. Because the greats at whatever they do, whether it's an athlete, whether it's a coach, whether it's a CEO, whether it's a great parent, whatever you do, it's more than just an 8-to-5, or it's more than just something you do because you have to do. It's something that you dedicate yourself to doing. And you give a lot of freaking time to doing that. And whether you like Kobe or hated Kobe, and when I say hated him, it was from a basketball standpoint, you respected the hell out of him. And there is a handful of players in my lifetime that you just put on that level of, you know what, whenever that guy finished playing a game, or whenever that guy's season was over, or whenever that guy retired, or whatever happened, that guy left it all on the field, on the court, whatever. He gave every freaking thing he had. He had nothing left. Coaches have been saying this forever. Empty the tank. Kobe's one of the rare guys who truly emptied the tank. And the older I get, like, those type of players I like. It's why I didn't grow up a Warriors fan. I know I live in the Bay Area, but I was more of a Kings guy. I was more of a Michael Jordan guy. I love Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Because before they became super famous, they weren't into the brand and, like, the money. They were grinders. They really kind of operated more like NFL guys, especially Steph and Clay. Not big school guys. Not number one picks. Now, they were both first-round picks, but, you know, they weren't the number one overall guy. They didn't have many scholarship offers. They just absolutely grind when no one's looking. It's the thing I like most about sports. Players that maximize everything they have. Now, if you're a talented player, like if you're Odell Beckham, and you give everything you have, it's going to be impossible to fail. Now, when you kind of think he kind of gives it, might not, I don't know. You know, you just leave some open for interpretation. Here's what I know about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and J.J. Watt. All their chips were in the middle of the table. Like, whenever J.J. Watt's careers end, I'll be like, you know what? That guy legitimately emptied the tank. He could not have worked any harder at becoming a better football player. Nothing else he could have done. Nothing. There's nuevIt's like when Luke Kuechly had that video that he was retiring on the Carolina Panthers. It was like, you know what? I respect the shit out of Luke Kuechly. And I think there was something, someone, there was a video that came out that Luke Kuechly, his first 4 years, or maybe someone tweeted it, didn't have a television at his house because he didn't want to get distracted from watching film. Like, those are the type of players I like. It's cheesy or whatever. And I can't relate to it. I can't. Like, when I say I put all my chips in the middle of the table on this profession, luckily with this profession, I'm allowed to watch a lot of TV. I can't relate to being that maniacal and being that disciplined and just having this overarching drive. And with sports, like most of us in business, like we want a double revenue or we want a big quarter or whatever, but there's not, the goalpost always kind of moves. With sports, the goalpost, very simple. Win the championship. Be the best player in your sport and win a championship. Like, you can kind of, it's kind of tangible. And Kobe was at the highest level. I mean, think about Mamba mentality. What so many players and athletes in 2019 kind of, you know, if you're an athlete, a pro athlete right now in his mid-20s, Kobe was arguably the best athlete in the world when you were growing up. It was like, when I was thinking the 2000s, it would have been Kobe, Peyton, and Tom. Those are probably the most three famous guys of like the 2000s. Maybe Shaq for a little bit at the beginning. But those guys all, to me, have the same characteristic in common. And it's just their ultimate dedication for the craft. Whatever it takes to win. And I think sometimes the great players always have that. I think sometimes the frauds, and fraud's even too strong of a word, but just the guys that most fans are just kind of indifferent on, don't. And that's the legacy. Guy lost his life at 41 years old with his daughter. I can't even fathom. And it's just a pretty awful day, but it also makes you think a lot about like what you like about sports, why he resonated, why what he did worked.
It's just, it's crazy.
Kind of hard to even transition to another topic. It's just, and I know maybe there aren't that many basketball fans listening to this, but Kobe's pretty famous. So I would imagine everyone is somewhat moved when you just see a human and his daughter die. But it is Super Bowl week, so I guess we'll just try to have an escape from real life and talk about the game. And we'll have all week to talk about the game. I'll be, follow me on Instagram. I'm going to be all over Super Bowl week, just Instagramming things, put on my story, whatever. I think the number one talking point this game is going to be the coaches. We have the young hotshot offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan. We have the established Andy Reid, who's trying to get over the hump. Andy, quote-unquote, can't win the big game. That, to me, against Kyle, who, while it's his first opportunity, he did have and was a part of one of the more, I mean, definitely one of the more recent, but definitely one of the biggest collapses in Super Bowl history. I think, actual number-wise, it is the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. They had a 28-3 lead in the second half. 28-3. It's just, Barstool made shirts. It's just 28-3. You never forget that. And Kyle was the offensive coordinator. Now, you can nitpick and say it's on the head coach, tell him to run the ball. And he's talked about it was really just a play here, a play there. It could have easily been different. But the reality remains. Coach Reid made the Super Bowl once, ran into Belichick and Brady. And Donovan McNabb was throwing up. And then Kyle, who's made it once as assistant coach, blew a 28-3 lead. Now, it wasn't all his fault. The defense gave up 31 points in the second half. Still, though, the facts are the facts. And I think we all can agree that these are two, I'd put Sean Payton right there, the most dynamic head coaches in the league when it comes to offense. Now, Andy's been doing it a lot longer with a ton of different schemes. Started as a West Coast guy. Not that long ago, he hired Chris Ault when he traded for Alex Smith. Now the Mahomes offense is a little bit of everything. He can coach it all. What makes Kyle unique is he has a certain specific scheme, the zone running scheme, but he has added so many different layers off of it that you don't, like his offense, what is his offense? And the way the players talk about it every week is starts from scratch. We don't carry over ever anything. It's what I think a lot of people inside the 49ers operation enjoy about Kyle. Every week's a new game plan. Every week's, you know, learning something new. It keeps everyone fresh. Where a lot of coaches in the NFL force feed schemes. Like what someone, and I wrote about this last week in The Athletic, I had an offensive coordinator reach out to me and I was texting with him during championship weekend. And he said, Andy Reid's greatest strength is run-pass ratio. He doesn't give a shit about that. Why should you? You throw in this league to get the lead. Andy Reid hangs his hat on getting his best players touches. It's not about runs. It's not about passes. It's about getting Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Hardman, over the years, when he's had T.O., to DeSean Jackson, to Jeremy Maclin, to Shady McCoy. When he first got to the Chiefs, it was Jamal Charles. He'll get his best players the football. And I think both these two guys are just refreshing. Now, Andy is a unique personality. I obviously have a personal connection with him, known him for a long time, 10-plus years. Just seen him work when I was in Philly, the way he deals with teams, the way he deals with his employees, the way he deals with coaches. It's how nice of a guy he is. For those that don't know, if you didn't read my Athletic article, my second year in Philly, he had me, who at the time was just a pro scout, over to his house for Thanksgiving. The morning wigs were there. A guy named Eugene Chung, who was one of our assistant offensive line coaches who had played in the league, and me. It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how many people are doing that. It just speaks to, like, he really is that good of a guy. And it turns out he's a better guy than he is a coach, and he's a damn good coach. You know what's turned out? Like, Kyle, I think we're still getting to know his personality, but he's a pretty likable guy, too. Kyle went from being kind of this surly, young up-and-comer to just pretty well-liked. I know this, having watched all of his press conferences, he's candid, he's open, he's just cool, he's just himself. I think both of these guys, the thing that separates them from just a lot of coaches, now, Andy's been doing it a lot longer as a head coach, they're very secure in their own skin. They're not trying to be something they're not. They're not screaming because they think they should just scream. They're just coaching the way they know how to coach and trying to make sweet, fun plays because that excites them. Offense excites them. But they love the profession. I've seen Kyle at practice. I mean, just how active he is at practice. I know I said this all the time when I was around Pat Hill and then now Andy Reid. Is just how much they love practice. And I always say coaches like practice as much as games because in football, that's really where you get better. You spend the majority of your time practicing, not playing. So I don't even know if there's a point to what this segment, just that I am really looking forward to the in-depth breakdowns, these coaches talking, and just the coaching matchup in this Super Bowl. So it's one of the better ones we've had in a long time. Okay, let's dive into something that happened this weekend. And there's actually two football games. I don't count the Pro Bowl. Full disclosure, I did not watch. I can honestly say this. I'm not just saying this to sound cool. I knew it was on, but I was just doing other stuff. I didn't watch one snap of the Pro Bowl. If by the time this is out, that game did big ratings, who's watching this thing? I've only seen one play because Devontae Adams tweeted, I guess, after he scored a touchdown, he did a 24, like a RIP to Kobe. But yeah, I didn't watch one snap. But there was one game of actual consequence this weekend, and that was a Senior Bowl. It's a big moment for a lot of guys. But it's specifically big. I remember several years back, there was a quarterback. I'm not going to name his name because it was about an agent that held the quarterback out. And I was like, why are you holding the quarterback out? The Senior Bowl, if you just have a big arm, you're going to look good at the Senior Bowl. Now, if you're a talented player, you're going to rise. If you're like a first or second round pick at the Senior Bowl, you fly up the charts because you're around all these other guys that are third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders. So like the future of the league, and you're kicking their ass. It's why, think about guys that had good Senior Bowls. Lane Johnson, Aaron Donald. You go to a Senior Bowl and you dominate, it's like, whoa, this is not a fair fight. And Justin Herbert, I give him props because he easily could have not shown up. He was already a borderline top 10 lock. He's 6'6". He's got a huge arm. He's a high character guy. He's from Oregon. They just won the Rose Bowl. He's been starter in Power 5 for 4 years. Unlimited tape. He could have justified, and whoever his agent is, we don't need to go. And I wouldn't have said anything. But he went. It was a genius move because he's going to look so much better than everyone he's playing for just on his sure size alone. Then he played well, and he was a Senior Bowl MVP. I left thinking this weekend, I actually just didn't even watch that much of the game, saw one series, but I already know he looks good. I was getting texts all week from people in the NFL like, this guy looks unreal. I didn't realize he was this good. And I was on the fence, watching his career. But I do know this. Josh Allen, who went 7th overall, was not as good of a player coming out. And this guy might not have as big of an arm, but pretty close. Similar athletes, similar size, just freaks. But this guy's way more productive. The game I saw, when he basically played an NFL-level defense in Wisconsin and carried his team to a win, was one of the more impressive things non-LSU I saw in 2019 in college football. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl, playing for the Lions, who have the 3rd overall pick, kicks ass, takes names, has an unreal week of practice. The game isn't as important. I'll give you another guy that really stood out, Ziggy Ansah. I vividly remember Brett Veach texting me and like, bro, have you watched Ziggy in the game? And I'm like, no, I haven't watched him yet. I went back and watched the Senior Bowl game tape and he dominated, went 5th overall. Now, he's been hurt, but he was a really good NFL player. So the Senior Bowl, when you stand out in that game, it really says something. And Justin Herbert, in what scenario do 3 quarterbacks, if Tua's hip checks out, don't go in the top 5? I struggle to see one. Now, Joe Burrow is going to go number 1 overall to Cincinnati. It's not crazy. Now, Justin Herbert has never had a season as good as Joe Burrow. Not even close. I mean, Joe Burrow just had arguably the best season in college football history. But if you told me in 8-10 years that Justin Herbert is a better player than Joe Burrow, I do think that's believable. Now, would it be pretty nuts if Justin Herbert went 1 overall? Yeah, just because of the great season Joe Burrow had. But if you told me there were scouts that just like Justin Herbert better, I guess you'd just say, well, the one-year film was so great, but what about the previous years? I'm just telling you, people in the NFL love guys like Justin Herbert. High character, big school guy, good stats, plays well, and is just a physical freak. So this guy, Joe Burrow's going to go one. Well, if you're at number two and you're the Washington Redskins, I do think you could justify trading back like one or two spots, thinking, well, Tua and Herbert might then go two and three, and I could still get Chase Young at four. Now, you could also counter, if you think Chase Young's going to be like Khalil Mack or Nick Bosa, don't overthink it, don't risk it, just take the pass rusher, which, okay, I understand. Well, at three, the Detroit Lions, Matt Stafford was all screwed up last year with a bad back. You're telling me you don't want Justin Herbert? Think about the Chargers. Think of all the good teams, you know, that have been pretty good the last couple of years but are not good this year that are drafting really high. I just don't see how teams don't, when we see, why are the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl? Why were they in the AFC Championship last year? Because they traded multiple picks to get up and get Patrick Mahomes, and that was at 10. You don't think you'd trade up to go get a guy at 2, 3, or 4? And obviously Tua, his hip is a great unknown, but if that hip checks out, the quarterback by far is the most important position. It's all we talk about. Like what Deshaun Watson's doing, how good Carson Wentz can be. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo plays, how much better the 49ers are. Obviously the Mahomes, Russell Wilson. We know it. We say it all the time. If you think this guy, and clearly he has the talent, so part of it, no one knows. You're just projecting. Well, if you were going to project, you'd project this guy to be a really good player. If you believe in your coach, if you believe in your position coaches, if you believe in your organization, to me, this is the type of guy you'd want. Checks off all the boxes. Like I say it all the time with Josh Allen. It was just his inaccuracy was beyond over the top. He couldn't hit water from a boat, and now he's improved a lot, but it's still a problem. But I understood people being enamored with the physical tools. I get it. Because I do understand the physical tools matter. If you ever go to an NFL practice, these guys are huge. So being big, like I don't like midgets. It's one of my issues with Kyler Murray. He's just tiny. He's like my size. But he does have freak attributes, so he can kind of make up for it. I actually like Kyler Murray more than Baker Mayfield because I go, well, he's 6 foot, his arm's solid, bad athlete, can't really see much, can't make things happen out of nowhere. It's like if Baker Mayfield can go one, Justin Herbert sure as hell can go like three or four. I'll promise you that. I think this guy, when the dust settles, I just don't see how he makes it past the top five. I don't see a scenario if he stays healthy for the next 3 months, how he's not drafted extremely high. Okay, let's get to the Middlecoff mailbag. A little shorter pod, mainly just because we're doing three this week. Instagram, I'm going to be doing a lot of Instagramming in Miami. Be on the ground floor. We call it boots on the ground. My boots, more like my Nikes, be on the ground. I saw it's supposed to be kind of hot. I don't even know. I haven't packed yet as of recording this. Just going to go and let it fly and just see what's going on the streets with the people. So just follow me on Insta and I'll be all over it. And I also answer your questions here and I got a bunch to answer. Been a listener since I saw you come on Colin's show years back. Appreciate it. I'm a big Eagles fan and I have just one question. Why have the Eagles struggled so much in drafting, developing the quarterback position? All of their defensive and offensive line picks have been hits or well-developed over the years to at least serviceable thoughts. I do think that corner is just one of the more difficult positions to figure out. It's very, very difficult to evaluate because when they're coming out, how many corners in college do you feel that are going to be really good players and then suck? It's rare. Like the Robert Galleries of the world don't happen very often, but it happens all the time in the NFL. Now, Sidney Jones tore his Achilles. Ronald Darby was hurt right when they got him. So, Asante Samuel was a really good player for them. Obviously, Andy, early on in Andy's career, they had some good players too. I think it's a difficult position. Richard Sherman, who's a Hall of Famer, went in the fifth round. You know, for every Patrick Peterson, there are a lot of guys that are just swing and misses. The Milners, DJ Haydens. I mean, even the 49ers, Akella Weatherspoon, took 6'1", he can run. Third rounder from Power 5 from Colorado, he's benched for an undrafted free agent. I think it's a very, very difficult position to evaluate. People always ask me, what's your best position to evaluate? I can evaluate the shit out of running backs and wide receivers and tight ends. Do that with my eyes closed. Linemen, a little more difficult, but if you tell me the scheme, what you're looking for, I'll have a better idea. To me, defensive linemen, for the most part, are easy. Now, you got to know a lot about them personally, like if they're tough or not. To me, corners and safeties are so hard, are so difficult. They really are a tough position because defense is so complicated. I could be wrong on this, but like quarterbacks and defensive backs, we get busts left and right. I've seen a lot of mock drafts, and I was surprised to see only one had Justin Herbert going in the second round. With other drafts, he is the last of the top quarterbacks to come off the board. What do you think makes the other quarterbacks better or worse than Herbert? I watched him these last 2 years, and to me, he's a player who's similar to Carson Wentz. Great show. Yeah, like I just said, Joe Burrow's year is better than anything Herbert's ever done, right? Clearly. Now he's playing. Herbert didn't play with Jefferson and Chase. He didn't have those two guys. Tua's a better player. Tua's just a better player. Now, Tua's been hurt. Now, Justin Herbert's been hurt, too. Herbert's had some injuries. But I think anytime you play in the SEC and you win in the SEC, you get a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. I feel very, very strongly after the Rose Bowl, then after the Senior Bowl, and then knowing that he's also going to go to the Combine, that he's going to end up going really high. If there are questions with Tua's hip, he'll be the second quarterback off the board. Anyhow, who do you think the Niners draft at 32? That's a good question. And last time I got asked this, it's like my head's not even there. I think they could go tackle. I mean, Staley's got a couple years left. Max, you could do like Andre Dillard. They did Jason Peters. They could go corner. They could take a wide receiver. They could trade back. The great part about, I see what you did there at 32 with the winky face. They could be 31 too. I think you can do anything. I personally probably would try to trade back and get multiple second round picks because they don't have a second round pick because the D4 trade. So they only have a first and then a third. Like they need to get a second round pick. So I wouldn't be opposed to trading back from 32 or 31 and getting multiple second round picks. Question for the 3 and Out podcast on this week's pod. You talked about game-changing moves that changed the franchise. With the offseason ahead of us, could you do a team-by-team breakdown of one or two moves that changed the franchise? Yeah, I mean, we're going to need some content for the offseason, so that's not a bad idea. Let me write down franchise-changing moves. Maybe we can do players... franchise moves changing. I could do things like guys that could get traded this offseason, kind of like an Odell Beckham, but to the right team if he went to the Patriots. You know, those type moves, like the Clowney move helped Seattle for sure. Laremy Tunsil move, just moves like that. Maybe the potential offseason moves that could happen. I could do something like that too. Always looking, if you got ideas for content, because a couple people have asked me, like, Middlecoff, you only going to do, what's the schedule for the offseason? There is no offseason. I keep on grinding. This isn't a hobby. This is not a hobby. This is a life's work here. So we record, we keep on going, even when the topics dry up. John, just listen to the 3 and Out from the 21st on January. First question in the mailbag was about cap space. Incentives are classed into two categories, likely to be achieved and not likely to be achieved. The likely to be achieved at put on this year's cap. If the incentive is achieved, nothing happens. If the incentive is not achieved, that amount is added to next year's cap. The not likely to be achieved, I like this. See, we get educated by the listeners. The not likely to be achieved incentives are put on the cap, but if they are achieved, it will hit next year's cap. This is a very brief view of incentives. It obviously is much more complicated for actual contractual negotiations, but that is the general idea. See, I knew it was something like that. That makes complete sense. So the likely to be achieved get factored into that year's cap. Then if you hit them, they carry over. The not likely to be achieved carried over, and if they don't hit, they go away. So I think that's the Cliff Notes version. Makes a lot of sense. Completely get it. Big-time Niner fan in Idaho. The Niners' run game has been amazing this year, but I feel like they don't have an ass kicker in the backfield. Mostert has been awesome, and Breida can break one off for 80, but I think it has been mostly running scheme that has made them look good. What do you think about their backfield? Do you think they stick with what they have going forward and finally start working McKinnon in? Well, McKinnon's going to get cut this offseason. Or do you see them making moves in free agency or the draft? Well, I think when you think Shanahan, you think unlimited running backs. It doesn't matter where they're from. They're going to rush for 1,000 yards. Like when you think Andy Reid, you think this guy can work with any quarterback. So if Shanahan's best attribute is his scheme makes running backs that a lot of other teams would not value good, you would never, if you do something well in life, like think of whatever your business does well, if whatever that may be, you don't spend in areas that you don't need to that are functioning at a high level, right? You invest into areas you need to improve on. Like, I don't know if you can tell, I got a new microphone. And I hope it sounds a little bit better. And I've been tinkering, but I've been thinking a lot about it, and I've been trying to find a good microphone and a better microphone, and I just want it to sound better. So I spent some money and got a new microphone because it didn't sound good enough. Well, my computer, which cost $2,500 or whatever it did, the MacBook Pro from 3 or 4 years ago, my computer works just fine. So I don't need to invest in the computer or the software that I have recording the podcast, that or the Zoom that I work, plug it through, that acts as like my board. But I needed a new mic, so I had to invest in a new one. If I already had a good, sweet mic and it sounded good enough for me, I wouldn't have got a new mic. I think when you can manipulate the running back position with just average guys, and I think when you look around the league, the value would say never, like you don't need Saquon in this scheme, and you don't. But certain teams might. But Kyle, to me, definitely they do not need to invest in a running back. What up, John? Local Steelers fan from San Ramon. See, right down the road. I believe Ben would come out this year and tear it up, but he got hurt. What do you think he can pull together this year? I think it's just difficult the older you get, the more injured you get, to bounce back. Now, he's going to be, I think, 38 years old. Their team offensively is still solid, right? I mean, James Conner's a good back. Vance McDonald's okay. Their offensive line's good. Juju's a good player. That Deontay Thompson, the kid they drafted that can fly, is a good player. So I'm with you. If Ben had been there, they wouldn't have been, what was their final record? 8-8. They would have probably been at minimum 10. They would have been in the playoffs. They would have been, to me, the Titans probably don't get in. They're the wild card team. They're a wild card team with the Bills. They're just, hell, they might compete with the Ravens for the division. They would have been really good because their defense was good, especially once they traded that first rounder for Minka. I just, you know, Brady eats so healthy. Breeze has been pretty healthy and he doesn't take that many hits. Roethlisberger is a weathered older player. Look at Cam Newton, who went through so many injuries and he's 30 years old. But you're like, well, his wear and tear, he ran. You're like, it's understandable. Like, is Cam Newton playing at 35 years old? He might not be. Roethlisberger's pretty crazy he lasted this long given how physical his playing style was. And for, you know, a 3 or 4 year period where they had one of the worst offensive lines in the league and he was just always getting destroyed. Well, now he's just getting injured because part of you just getting older, you get hurt. Like you hear a lot of like your buddies that are like 40, you're like, yeah, torn Achilles playing hoops. Well, when you're 20 years old, I go to the rec center 5 days a week. I could play pickup hoops for hours on end. I'm 35. There's a chance I'll never play pickup hoops again besides like my kids. I can't risk an Achilles. I can't risk the 30 pounds I'd add during my Achilles rehab. My body can't take it. It's just not worth the risk. I'll run on the treadmill. It's safer. I don't have the time to full rehab to come back. Now, Roethlisberger does, but I just think it's going to be difficult at his age. I don't know. I'm going to bet we never see the same Ben Roethlisberger again. Now, I think he's going to try to play next year, but it could be ugly. That's just an educated guess on the way his style of play usually ages, especially after a serious injury late in his career. Appreciate everyone listening. Again, we're going to come out with another one Wednesday and another one Friday in Miami. Follow on Instagram and on Twitter. I'll be all over the place. See if Colin. I'll try to just make a cameo. He's probably pretty busy, but just definitely go hang out with him. So I'll get some behind the scenes with the Coward. Be at Fox Sports. Just be around, roaming with the people. And people with the Chiefs, people with the 49ers, and be out and about all week. Can't freaking wait. Super Bowl, RIP to the Mamba. And let's just keep on trucking. Adios. Thanks for listening. Tell all your friends to go subscribe to the podcast. 3 and Out. Thanks.
Peace.